You're listening to LawPod UK. It's a podcast that covers developments across all aspects of civil and public law in the United Kingdom. All the comments are current at the time of podcast publication. It's brought to you by the barristers at One Crown Office Row, and this edition is presented by Rosalind English.
Artificial intelligence, AI, aims to mimic human cognitive functions. It's bringing a paradigm shift to healthcare, powered by increasing availability of healthcare data and rapid progress of analytics techniques. Robert Keller, QC of One Crown Office Row, is here to answer some pertinent questions about the application of AI in healthcare and what it means for clinical negligence and other forms of litigation and regulation in medicine. Rob, once again, thank you very much for coming on LawPod UK to explore some of the hurdles for real-life deployment of AI.
It's my pleasure.
What challenges does the increasing use of AI in medicine pose to the traditional idea of medical negligence?
Well, Rosalind, I think what we're dealing with at the moment is a changing model of medical care, where we move from the idea of machines as tools for humans to use to provide medical judgment to a model where machines are actually the providers of the medical judgment itself. And this raises, at least in my view, the question of whether the law of negligence is even a good fit for this new model at all. I mean, when one stops to think about it, the fundamental assumption which underlies the whole idea of the law of negligence is that humans are fallible beings. To err is to human, if you like, and that the job of judges is to work out the legitimate expected boundaries of that fallibility. What kind of negligence or error is forgivable and what is not? Whereas the fundamental assumption underlying artificial intelligence is that machines don't suffer from those human fallibilities due to their capacity, their processing speed, the way that they think differently and perceive things differently to human beings. So to my mind, at least, this raises the question of whether the law of negligence, the law of medical negligence, at least in the way in which it's traditionally operated, is a good fit, of whether it's even fit for purpose.
And will there ever come a point when healthcare providers will be under a duty of care to use artificial intelligence?
I certainly think that time is coming, that it's on the horizon. At some point, courts are going to ask, when is it illogical not to use AI? When is it not in accordance with what one would expect of a responsible body of opinion? In my view, the answer to that question will really depend upon the speed of uptake of AI. At what stage is it going to be regarded as, so to speak, standard practice? And that in turn is going to depend on professional guidelines, things like NICE guidelines, what the Royal Colleges say. But I think the other question, which the courts are going to have to grapple with, is this. To what extent can defendants rely on resourcing issues to defend themselves against those sorts of arguments? Are resourcing defences justiciable by the courts, or are they political policy questions which the courts shouldn't tread on? If the courts are going to get involved in resourcing issues, whether AI should be used, whether it's too expensive to use or not, is that a matter of clinical judgment where one applies the Bolam standard, or does one apply a different test to whether it's mandatory to use AI or to spend money on those kinds of systems? I don't know the answer to those questions, and the courts are going to have to grapple with them at some stage.
Rob, what about individual healthcare practitioners? Will they be held liable when AI goes wrong?
Well, on a conventional analysis, one might say, yes, why not? After all, AI is just another tool used by doctors to get to the right answer. Or another analogy, it might be said, is delegation to a junior doctor. It might be argued that when one deploys AI, one is really deploying another doctor or a researcher to help you get to the right answer. But then again, on the other side of the coin, are those analogies fair or appropriate? In the case that we are talking about, the use of AI, the software is not only assisting the doctor in making the decision, in many instances, it's actually going to be making the ultimate decision, the ultimate diagnosis, the ultimate interpretation. So that's one aspect. And the other reason why it might not be fair for individual doctors to be responsible is this idea of the black box problem. It's something which is talked about in the literature on this subject quite a lot. And the black box problem, it's a bit of a tongue twister, is this notion that it's not possible in real time for individual doctors to understand precisely why AI is making the decision or the decisions that it's making. That might be due to the complexity of the data that's being analysed, the speed of processing, the very different language that artificial intelligence systems use. And so throwing all of that into the mix, the courts might take the view that it's simply not fair or appropriate to make individual doctors responsible in real time for the answers that AI spits out. And it might be thought that the use of AI is a bit more like making a referral to a third-party specialist than it is to supervising a junior doctor or using a basic tool of medicine.
Zooming out a bit, what about the liability of healthcare institutions where AI goes wrong?
Well, I think that's certain to be a hot topic. The courts are going to have to look for ways to make institutions responsible where AI goes wrong. And I think there are different ways, different paths to achieving that. One way of doing it may be to impose some kind of strict liability. For example, the courts might choose to treat AI as something analogous to a legal person for whom institutions are vicariously liable or in respect of which they owe a non-delegable duty of care. As we know, the law on vicarious liability and non-delegable duties has been in a state of real flux in recent years, and that's just dealing with human beings. My view is that we may well be heading into a new era of evolution when whilst the courts are considering whether those concepts embrace AI and how. I suppose less radically, another more conventional approach may simply be to regard AI errors as something which can be encompassed by ordinary duties of care. So duties to ensure that AI technology functions appropriately, duties of audit and validation, testing, simple software and hardware maintenance. So the courts may just look at it through that prism. I suppose the third way of looking at it would be to look at it through the prism of product liability and the law on that.
And turning from the issue of who has the duty of care to the issue of standard of care, will the courts consider it to be negligent if practitioners second-guess answers given by AI?
Well, I think that's a very good question. What happens if the treatment suggested by AI is not consistent with a doctor's clinical judgment? Let's say the AI spits out a particular proposed procedure, but the doctor, exercising clinical judgment, takes the view that it's unduly risky or disproportionate or harmful or simply at odds with conventional wisdom. Now, at first blush, certainly as a clinical negligence practitioner, the answer to that conundrum looks simple. So these clinic lawyers were used to the idea that algorithms, guidelines are not substitutes for a doctor's clinical judgment, nor might it be said that machines are substitutes for clinical judgment. But if that's right, it does beg the question then of, well, what is the point of using AI in the first place? Because the whole point of AI in the medical context is supposed to be that it exposes flaws in conventional ways of thinking about problems, in conventional medical wisdom. In other words, the whole premise of AI is that there are limits to conventional wisdom, traditional ways of medical thinking, and there are limits on an individual doctor's to perceive problems. That can be cured AI. And I think at some point, the courts are going to have to grapple with that tension. I think we're going to expect claims by patients whose doctors have disobeyed AI and those who have obeyed it. It's going to be a difficult question for the courts to resolve.
And Rob, will the use of AI result in courts imposing a higher standard of care on practitioners?
Well, I think, speaking for myself, the answer to that question is probably yes. I mean, at least in principle, if clinicians are armed with more reliable, more accurate, less error-prone tools, which will enable them to, let's say, interpret scans or pathology slides or photographs of lesions with much greater accuracy, then in principle, errors are going to be much less forgivable. Even outside the AI context, we're already seeing courts take a more interventional approach where what we're dealing with is not competing schools of medical thought to which the Bolam standard might apply, but simple errors, for example, errors in the interpretation of pathology slides and the like. And there was a case called Muller and King's College, which made that point, the point that where what the court is dealing with is an error, a cock-up, if you like. And the courts will analyse the doctor's standard of care with much greater interventionism. So armed with AI, it's arguable, at least in principle, that it should be possible for most clinicians to pick out mistakes most of the time, if not all of the time. And certainly to my mind, that might in practice result in a heightening of the standard of care, a watering down of the Bolam standard, and perhaps eventually the death of Bolam altogether, at least in some particular areas.
So with the increasing use of tech types in medical space, will we seek more claims for non-medical, i.e. technical breaches of duty?
Well, I think that's certainly something that may occur. There are going to be lots of cases in the future where we have errors from the use of AI that result not from anything done by the clinician, but errors by the clinician's ancillary team, a team that's responsible for deploying the technology in a healthcare context. I have in mind here things like errors by data inputters or programmers or software technicians, or errors in the configuration of the hardware by some other member of the technical team. And I think once we get into that, we're really dealing with different types of claim altogether. We're going to need different types of experts, different types of disclosure, and perhaps even different judges. And once we get into these sorts of highly technical areas, we may be in the realm of having to recruit judges with experience in technology, experience in the technology and construction courts, if you like, who are going to be much better suited to resolving these sorts of issues than the traditional, with no disrespect, common law garden Queen's Bench Division judge.
What about the consequences of all this from the perspective of regulation?
Well, I certainly think that as time goes on, we're going to need more guidance from the regulators, from the GMC, the MMC, the GDC, and any other body who's regulated practitioners use this sort of technology. We're perhaps going to see much closer liaison between bodies like the MHRA and the GMC on the development of appropriate standards. The areas, I think, where we're going to need the most guidance from the regulators are areas such as informed consent. How does informed consent work in the AI context? That's informed consent both for the use of AI as a reasonable alternative and for the use of individual patient data that inputs into AI. And also just guidance more generally on what a clinician's responsibilities are when they're deploying AI as one of the tools of their practice.
So, Rob, what is the potential for government intervention in the future?
Well, another intriguing prospect. I think that as time goes on, we are going to see a growing debate about how much the government should be intervening in the use of AI. We may see things like the licensing of AI products subject to a fee to enable there to be a pool out of which compensation could be paid, much like occurs in the motor insurance business with MIB claims. We may see mandatory insurance for individuals and institutions, again, much like we see for road users. And I think we may eventually see legislation imposing restrictions on the use of AI in particular areas or in particular ways. So we may have legislation, lawmaking around the question of autonomous decision making. It wouldn't be difficult to see Parliament passing a law that there should be no autonomous medical decision making without some form of human review. Those are all areas which I think there's going to have to be some debate on. At the moment, the uptake of this technology is in its infancy, and I think we'll have to wait and see whether and to what extent the government feels fit to intervene.
Do you foresee profound changes in your practice and clinical negligence?
I think it's too early to say at the moment in terms of what the changes will be and how profound there will be. But certainly, I think over the course of the next 5 to 10 years, we are going to see very significant changes. Certainly it's my view that the way in which medicine is delivered, the way in which medical care is delivered, is going to undergo profound change. And as in all areas, the law is going to have to keep up with it in some way. And so we're as practitioners.
LawPod UK is presented by Rosalind English and is produced by One Crown Office Row. For more editions of LawPod UK, you can subscribe to the podcast and recommend us to a friend.